This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Mike Shope.
In the price of the car, there are 5 numbers. Using all 5 numbers, write down the price of that automobile. Go. 19,000 what? 19, you can use the one twice. You can't do that.
And the Bulldog.
You've used the one twice. Look, right down here. What do you want to write? You want to write 19,000? Write it down.
On WGR.
No, $1.20 beats 85 cents. It's not even close. What do you mean you can't go over? So if you're a waiter and the bill is $40 and they give you a $50 bill, do you kick them out of the restaurant?
Now, come on. Let's go. You're going to lose your turn if you don't write. 19,000. Now, what, please tell me, do you have here?
Sports Radio 550.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Cranky Bob right there.
I think he was justifiably cranky there, I think.
Hang on. We got to ask something. I just thought of it. Joe, do you know who Bob Barker is?
Yes, I know who Bob
is. Is it close?
No, what do you mean, is it close?
Is it close? You almost not know who Bob Barker is?
No, I definitely know who Bob Barker is.
What age do you have to be to know who Bob
Barker
is?
You know because of Adam Sandler,
yeah, I know,
right?
Because of Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, right. You don't know because of The Price is Right.
I watched The Price is Right as a kid growing up. What else was on at 11 o'clock during the day?
Great question. Soccer.
I wasn't quite into that yet.
Hockey highlights.
So he was, yeah, the same hockey highlights every half an hour. He was the host. How old do you have to be to know who Bob Barker is?
He was the host when I watched it growing up.
Does Owen know who he is?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. It's never come up.
Did Owen watch The Price is Right?
No.
I remember calling
what
into...
What was he busy with?
Hockey highlights.
I remember calling into your show to say who I think should replace Bob Barker on The Price is Right.
You did that?
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah.
So you had somewhat of a take here. You had a strong enough take.
Jason Alexander.
Wow.
wait a minute. We were taking calls on who should replace Bob Barker.
I don't remember if I got on the air or not, but I remember calling in with Jason Alexander. Yeah.
Wow. Is this going to turn into another thing where you end up divulging that you had fake Twitter accounts to stalk us, like Ryan finally admitted at some point?
No.
He was working.
That happened?
Didn't Matthew do that?
I don't remember, Matt. It could have been. I don't know. I just visited with Ian Sloan in Minneapolis, but it didn't come up. I would have known Dan.
I know why I thought of him. Ryan used to bother Matthew.
Oh, that's right. There's a connection there. Yeah,
right? Before he worked here.
Yes.
So be careful out there. Someday you might need us.
Right.
Actually, what I mean is someday I may need you. But I'm not out there doing too much damage. Ryan used to bother Matthew on Twitter, and he might pick a different word than bother. By the way, Matthew might too. Ryan got hurt last night. We want to extend I'll just speak for myself, probably, my sincerest best wishes to Ryan Country Gates, who was injured in an accident last night. And so he told me, he said, have you seen pictures? And I said, no, is it necessary that I do? And he said, it's bad.
Oh, no.
Well, the actual quote was, it's pretty sick. Did Joe show you the pics? No, I want to make sure Joe doesn't do that.
You're sure I could forward him to him?
No,
right
now. I'm sure. You'll have to. Your number is about to be blocked if you even don't put your phone down right now.
When you say what sort of accident? Vehicular, like a motor accident?
No, hockey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he took a stick up in the mouth.
Yeah, that happens.
Pretty ugly.
It does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it does. Yeah.
We did score 3 goals on the power play, though, to win.
Well, I mean, did you pay the price? So did he come charging out of the locker room like Corey Perry did in overtime the other night while bloodied and half stitched up? Did that happen?
He did come out to shake hands holding a paper towel on his lip. Yeah, he did do that.
A paper towel?
Paper towel, I think, yeah.
It's not that bad then.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. They had to. They had to stop the game to clean the blood up.
Okay. Teeth?
No teeth.
Okay.
So like the lip area, like there looked like to be a hole in the lip area.
I don't want to be insensitive, but like whatever. We've already wasted way too much time on this for like a cut lip. Get out of here.
I did my job.
Now I have to send him
injured in an accident. Sincerest best wishes. I think I did it right there. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of hockey, I want to talk with you guys about a Jack Eichel trade and like the mechanics of it. So, me and my fantasy football, I'm constantly looking for trades, and part of that is sort of like how do you do it? Who is the person? How well do I know the person? Is it somebody like Joe would be, where I can just sort of come out with it, right? Like here, not just like an offer, but this is what I want. What do you think? Like, what do you want to try? You want to do this? This is what I'm. I don't want to play any games with him.
Direct.
This is where I want to end up. If it's no, it's no. But I'm not going to try to like sway you or not divulge what my goal is.
You're not going to start way high, hoping to get like the third guy into the back and forth.
Not with Joe.
You're going to tell Joe exactly what your objective is. And if he wants to play with you, then you guys can maybe, you know, try to hash some things out. If he doesn't, then that's the end of that.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Joe, Louis, certain of my friends, like I just know it's going to happen. It's going to happen quickly. And there's just no games. Now, there probably are NHL GMs who would be like that with each other. This is what I want. Brian Burke seems the type. Maybe he has guys like for this. Maybe this is why Regeer drove him nuts. Yeah. Because you're just like, this is what I want. What do you think? Sometimes, you know, if it's someone new, you know, Adams wouldn't know every one of these guys at least that well. They would know him as a player. They might know him beyond that from this role. He's been in the job for a year now. But
they would have no experience really dealing with him. Right?
Yeah.
So you don't know like what, you know, whether the direct approach is in some way the back door to a not direct approach. You just don't know. I mean, it'd be hard to have a read on a guy you haven't played cards with before. Yeah.
So how do you do it? Let's say you're interested in Eichel. How do you do it?
I mean, I think you call and say, hey, you know, like, what are you thinking here? Are you interested in trading this player, first of all, before we waste any of one another's time?
Okay.
Are you really, you know, is this happening?
Well, my answer is, as Adams, we'll listen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Adams has really, I don't know, don't take me too literally here, but I feel like Adams has the power in any of these negotiations. Adams has the player. You're starting down this road because you want the player, and he has him. Mm-hmm. So you have got to work for Adams to get this trade done, unless the situation is so far gone and the rest of the GMs in the league are in the same room laughing.
Right, just going. Yeah, you have no power. We know you have to trade this player. His agent told us you're going to trade this player. Like everyone on earth that's at this level of hockey management knows you're trading this guy. So don't try to act like you're not going to take the best offer you find in the next whatever 2 weeks, 6 weeks, however long we go, because we all know what's happening.
By the way,
Adams has to be careful. Because of that, I think, because he can't come off like, you know, if that's right, you know.
If that's right.
Right.
Would you want Adams to do that? Or would you want the Sabres? Really, that's not so much on the Adams level that he would have to be traded. Privately, the Sabres would be saying to themselves, like, he has to be traded. Mm-hmm. Would you want that from out here? Like, I don't know. I want the Sabres to come out of this not just with an interesting set of players, but with some pride, some self-respect, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's what did not happen in the Hasek trade. There was no – how could they have felt any sense of self-respect oh. after that trade? No. Just like, he told us he was done and we obliged him and we did the best we could. I'm sure that's right. not what they said.
Which was terrible. Yeah,
which was right. pretty bad. Yeah. The only player they got didn't want to come. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, you can't do too much worse than that, I guess. At the time, mm-hmm. I tried to like it. You know, you're a fan. You try to do that. So, anyway, back to the point. You're the Ducks, and, you know, you have some feel for how likely it is that the Sabres make the trade. You know, like, maybe you think it's 100% that they do. Maybe you think it's less than that. But they'll at least tell you, I think we'd all agree, the Sabres would at least tell you, we'll have a conversation. We can have a conversation. What mm-hmm. do you have in mind? But it's up to you, the Ducks or whoever, to make the offer. It's up to you. You have to, I think so. Mm-hmm. You have yeah. to at least put on the Sabres' desk, this is what we would do. And I think, you know, especially if you're not dealing with a close friend, I think you want that offer to be good enough for the Sabres to know that you're for real, but not mm-hmm. so good that they would just snap call it, right?
Right, then they go, like, oh my God, the Ducks just called and offered this. Like, what do you think? I think we should just do this. Yeah,
that's not a good feeling. No, that is not a good feeling when that happens.
Right. Right.
It seems like I am in my fantasy, like I'm in more trades where I do that. I do the snap call. And then sometimes even like people I know well will come back to me like, uh-oh, was it that obvious? Was this so good?
Oh, see, dude, that's where you got to play the game on the other side. If you get an offer that's just so good, you can't lead on as though it's so good. You got to be like, all right, well, let me think about it. Or maybe you ask them right. to throw in like a fifth round pick, something just really small to make them think that you're not quite there.
This is where your being younger makes a difference, because I am way too old for any sort of grinding over a fifth round pick. I'm just going to say yes. I don't care that much. I'm in too many leagues. I'll take it, you know, right? So I think we kind of agree, like the other team has to make the offer. The Sabres would need that. You know, unless no one's doing it.
Right. That's like a doomsday scenario. But no, I think I need the Ducks to recognize, I think anyway, like this would be my advice. I mean, whatever. I'm not scouting these guys. I didn't watch Jamie Drysdale play junior hockey.
Really? He was not at the clinic you just went to?
Yeah, he was not at any of the stuff. No, I mean, he's just a little enough older, although, I mean, whatever. Anyway, I'm just not familiar with the player enough. Newsflash. But, like, to me, the Ducks, in order to not just get hung up on, have to be, like, you have to – I think Adams either has to make it known, or they have to be smart enough themselves to say, like, look, we are interested in Jack. If you're interested in moving him, we're prepared to include one of those two guys as part of the compensation. And if that's not the case, like, is it Bob Murray still, right? Is that the Anaheim GM? I think it is. If he calls and as part of the first conversation they have, or even the fifth conversation they have about this, if it gets to, well, we want to do the best we can for you, and we really want Jack on our team, but we're not trading either one of those two guys, Zegras or Drysdale, then I'm hanging up. Well, you know, and I may have to – I mean, I'm not just hanging up. I'm saying, I'm sorry, that's not good enough, and we're done here. And that's the end of that. Now, if – we get past whatever finish line, if there is one for this, you know, sometime this summer, training camp, I don't know, and no one has met the criteria that Adams has in mind, well, then you might have to call the Ducks back and like say, okay, well, now what were you willing to do again when I you know, got offended by your offer that didn't include either one of those guys? What else is there? And you might have to get, but to me, that you are weeks and weeks and weeks away from that, because anybody that doesn't – I've said this all along, and maybe it's unrealistic. I don't know, considering the injury and what might be known within the league about the Sabres' desire to trade Eichel. But if you're not willing to include your best 19-year-old guy for a proven superstar, then I'm not talking to you. I'm gonna exhaust all opportunities to acquire that player from someone, and if that well runs dry, then I might be in real trouble. But I think you should be able to do that with someone, and I think anyone thinking otherwise, on the other end of this, the Anaheim end of this, is not being realistic, at least right now.
Well, this is where the Sabres, I think, might have be in a really cool position. The overall is that they're in an unfortunate position, which is they feel like they have to trade Eichel. So that's not good. But when you are in that position, you can learn a lot about the other GMs. And really, if it's that good of an opportunity for them, they're going to want to show you, they're going to want to put their best suit on for you. You know, like they're going to want to look their best for you. And that's kind of cool. That gives you a special opportunity with them to just sort of see what they're willing to do and, you know, feel them out. And so you could just hang up, like you said, if you don't get one of the two best guys from Anaheim. You know, or you could, if you're willing to take something else, that would be based on how strong or weak the market is or the interest is. Then you might either think or just sort of follow through and be like, well, this is the team. This is our best shot. And what about these things, you know? And then you just sort of keep going in that one. But ideally, yeah, you can blow them off. If not blow them off, you can just sort of ignore them if they're not willing to talk about either of those players. I think Anaheim, like if I'm Anaheim, I'm going to pick one at least to start the conversation. Maybe it's not the one I want to give up. Or maybe it is, I should say, the one I want to give up. But I'm starting that. I want to be taken seriously in this.
Yep.
I think I'm not going to tell the Sabres one of those two. I think I want to be specific and say, you know, this player and this is a trade we would make. And that makes a good impression that, you know, you hopefully it would be for their sake and the Sabres a good offer. And, you know, then I think you're going to be somewhere. Then I think you're at a point where the Sabres would at least check back with you before moving him somewhere else.
I 100% agree. That's exactly right. Like to me, the key piece, the centerpiece has to be right. And to me, either one of those guys is a very good centerpiece for this trade. I think, you know, you're going to have to hammer out other stuff. You're probably, we've talked about this a few times, going to have to take something back that you don't really want, but that could fill a hole for you. Maybe a high-priced goalie works in that way, just to bridge the gap to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and just sort of get you through because you're sort of in the weeds on goalies and a team that's stuck with, you know, this was more L.A., I guess, than Anaheim, although I've heard Gibson's name thrown around a little bit in this conversation, I guess. But to me, he's very different than Quick in that, like, age-wise, he's just not – he's still in what should be his prime. I'm not here to tell you like he's your franchise goalie, but
why not?
Quick, you're acquiring Quick at the money for two more years, and he's just playing out the string. You're taking an anchor there. I don't know that Gibson has to be the same thing. It might be. It might not be smart money, but you might have to take it just because they want to divest themselves of a contract because they're taking $10 million off your hands.
Isn't he way better, though, and, like,
oh,
really,
sure,
really interesting as a number one immediately?
He's had a couple of rough 2 years in a row, but it's dependent on whether you want to chalk that up to he's just gotten worse or he's been carrying around an awful blue line in front of him, and that's really why his save percentage is tanked.
He has 6 years left at 6.4. Oof. Gibson.
I mean, that is...
Eichel has fewer years than that.
Right. Yeah, that is not something to bridge you to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
No.
That is like, I mean, now,
you
the good
Luukkonen
thing is
what you well, do in that deal.
Or you're just playing him ahead of him because Lukanen's on a rookie contract anyway, and who cares? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you've got, you know, $7 million or $8 million worth of goaltender in those two guys, and if the guy that's making the less money is better, whatever. You know, you play him. You know, it's not like you're saddled with a second high-priced goalie. So, I mean, I could live with that. And there's still the chance that Gibson could be very good. He has had very good seasons.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's, you know, you could talk me into that car. You know, if that's the money that I've got to take back. Now, the thing about him in that is that Anaheim probably values him and views him of more value than, say, L.A. would Jonathan Quick, which, you know, makes sense. L.A. would just love to get rid of Jonathan Quick, and it's not even really an asset they're giving up in their mind. You're doing them a favor.
Right.
And with 6 years left at that money, Anaheim, I think, can sell the idea that, look, we've been collapsing in front of this guy for a couple of years. He still is a quality goaltender, and you're getting something from us by getting him, even though the money is big. So that might be, like, more of a – it might limit the rest of the package if he's included.
Just hoping, as an aside here, that Terry Pegula doesn't sort of find his way to a Derek Grant, Nick Delorier reunion-type package here, the alumni. I'm just sort of a little bit worried about that. Here's a question. If you were the Sabres, would you, like, literally, would you call every team?
I don't.
Hey, we're in a spot here. We have Jack Eichel available. Are you interested? I think I probably wouldn't.
I don't think I'd do that now. I think if we get into August and nothing has happened, then I think maybe I start doing that. But that's to me would equate to what I laid out earlier about circling back to Anaheim after they didn't want to include Zegras or Drysdale. I think once you start calling, you're in real trouble. I think you should be able to sit back and wait for people to impress you. You've
right.
got the most valuable asset that's been traded in the league in a while.
There's nothing secretive about this situation. Like, the whole league would know where the Sabres are and what the situation is. So they should not need to call all the teams. They should assume anybody interested will call them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, keep your pride. Don't go calling Montreal to see if they want to talk about him. Like, if they do, they will.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to do that, they will do that, and they don't need your permission to do that. So I think that's another one. I think the Sabres shouldn't have to, you know,
yep.
page through and just call all the teams just to sort of make a list and what's right. the best you can do. Like, you know, because right. that team is laughing at them.
Uh-huh.
That team is going, wow, it's this bad. The interest in this player is so bad that they are calling us to see if we want him.
Right.
Like, that's maybe Jonathan Quick. That's, you know, a player that a team wants to unload. Hey, is there some way financially? Because you might not know every other team's financials that well. Financially, is there a way with the cap where you want to do this? And, you know, that's what was the Marleau trade with Carolina, where Toronto gave up a first and Marleau for a seventh?
Right.
Like, that's something where you have to be talking to the team. Somebody has that idea. But that's not, I mean, again, that's not the Eichel thing at all.
No, you should not. This should never get near that.
It could have been Ristolainen a few years ago, but it wasn't. That would have been like a head scratcher back then, but it probably would have been smart. Okay, how to make this trade? You don't have to quite weigh in on the strategy like we are, but that's what we're talking about here to start. 803-0550 is the number, and we'll take a break. We haven't heard from Joe really on this. I want to hear what he has to say about the mechanics of this kind of an idea. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe back after this on WGR.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual-role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
It is the last hour of our show here on Tuesday afternoon. Maddie Glab alongside Steve Tasker. And the conversation of today has been about Josh Allen and that contract extension. Yesterday it was about the Bills and the possibility of a new stadium. Today, it is about Josh Allen and a contract extension. We know it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen probably soon, but how soon? We're not sure. What is it going to look like? We're not exactly sure. But we did hear something on Sunday from Jeremy Fowler, who's with ESPN, and it could be a more of a team-friendly type contract for Josh Allen. So he's going to join us here in just a couple seconds. I think he may be on the phone line already. So we've got senior national NFL writer Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on with us. Jeremy, thanks for being a part of the conversation today. And we heard on Sunday that you reported about Josh Allen's structure and the extension and what it could look like, and the fact that this could be more of a team-friendly structure of things because he wants the Buffalo Bills to be long and to be competitive in the future when we're talking about length of this team being competitive. So thanks for being on with us. We appreciate the time.
Anytime, Maddie. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, I think there are certainly a couple quarterbacks that could be paid here in the hundreds of millions of dollars pretty soon, and Josh Allen will be atop that list.
Yeah, and that's we were thinking too. And we have a Twitter poll out that we use two ends of the spectrum on this poll, Jeremy. It was like, say the Mahomes deal is the top end, which is the most team friendly. It's 10 years; they can work all kinds of magic in between. There's a couple of balloon payments that they'll have to get around, but even this year, in the first year, they restructured a little bit of the deal for the COVID pandemic and the drop in the cap. And then there's the Dak Prescott deal, 4 years. Right. $164 million, bang, you're done. Which one of those contracts do you think this Josh Allen contract will lean towards?
Well, I don't expect him to do a 10-year deal. That's pretty extreme. I think that could be an anomaly, especially when quarterbacks and players and free agency are going to see the money balloon with gambling and 17-game revenue and all these factors. Now Mahomes is a different conversation because he was widely heralded as the best player in the league, and the Chiefs got his per year money really high as a result over the course of that deal, where I think a guy like Josh Allen could probably fall somewhere in between. From my understanding is, he knows that he'll get paid eventually. The Bills know they're going to pay him eventually. So there's no real concern. Nobody's really worried about it. Now that doesn't mean that they're down the road on a deal, but I think, as it was told to me, that Josh feels strongly enough about being in Buffalo that, he wants to make something work that both parties are satisfied with. He's certainly not going to take a discount, but I think if he can help with the structure in a few ways and there can be a give and take to keep them competitive for a long time, I think that would be his goal.
Yeah, why do you think an in-between here makes the most sense for both Josh Allen and how he could progress in his career, but also the Buffalo Bills and how they could preserve that roster while he's on the team?
Well, Prescott's situation was unique in the fact that Dallas likes to do longer-term deals, and he just wasn't going to do it. And I think that's why it took so long, about a year and a half of them just going back and forth. He wanted the shorter term deal from the beginning because he wanted to get back to it at 2023 or 24 and be a free agent again. And, I think, if you're Josh Allen, you've viewed all these contracts closely, or at least your representation has, where you see the pros and cons of a Mahomes deal, the pros and cons of a Dak Prescott deal, and you try to kind of find an in-between. Now, we know the Bills, based on precedent, they like to be aggressive. First-round picks coming out of 3 years. They want to try to get that done sooner than later. You saw that with Tre'Davious White. They made what they felt was a competitive offer, and he took it. So I think they'll take a similar approach with Josh Allen, knowing that it's especially important with a quarterback to try to stretch out the salary cap by using the fourth year of the rookie deal and the fifth year option to get 2 years of cushion for the Buffalo team trying to really stay competitive and re-sign a lot of good players, not just Josh Allen.
One of the things about these contract negotiations, we've talked about it a lot on this show, that you can't tell the future. You don't know if something's going to happen to your quarterback like Dak Prescott last year, or Alex Smith 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You don't know. And betting on their future, you don't know how beat up they're going to be. Pat Mahomes looked a little bit rickety at the end of this last season, even a year when they went to the Super Bowl. Predicting the future is the real problem. You don't care. You don't mind paying the guy a fair price, but you want him to be around to earn the money. Now, given that, I'm going to, the impossibility of predicting the future, I'm going to ask you to do just that. Where's the cap heading when 2023 hits and the new money comes in from the TV deals?
Yeah, Steve, I think it'll be well, at that point, it'd be well over 100 and maybe even 20 million because, right, you know, dipped to 182 this last year, but that was considered a, just an aberration. It should get closer to what it was in 2020, which is around that $198-200 million mark. It will get closer to that, and then it will start to grow exponentially. I think once you see all those factors kicking in, you could see growth of, instead of 10 million a year, more like 20, at least for a few years. The numbers I've heard for, you know, say 5 years from now are pretty astronomical. You know, I think that a lot of agents and even teams to an extent are budgeting for that one way or the other. You're either kicking money down the line, just trying to get through this year, knowing that you're going to have a lot more salary cap at your disposal in the next 3 years.
So how do you think this could change the market for quarterbacks and quarterbacks who are going to be signing a contract extension in the next couple years? Do you think this could change how contracts look currently or how they're going to look in the future?
Well, that's interesting because despite the salary cap increases that are coming, teams are still pretty leery of paying quarterbacks $40-plus million. Like, look at Cleveland, right? You got Baker Mayfield, good player, good quarterback. Is he widely considered a top 10 quarterback in the league? Probably not. And yet, if you're Cleveland, do you pay him $35, $37 million a year in a new deal? They'll probably have to, and I think they want to for the most part. They want to keep their core intact. But I've heard more and more from other teams that are like, unless you have a top five quarterback, keep drafting them, you know, draft them every 3 or 4 years because just paying that money is crazy. You look at Kirk Cousins next year as a $45 million cap hit. So even if the salary cap for the team was $250 million, that's still 20%. And it's not even going to be close to $250 million. So that's a problem for teams. Russell Wilson in Seattle, that's been a problem of just trying to work around his big number. You want the great player and the great quarterback and the stability, but it's tough. So I think Buffalo falls in the category of like, hey, we do have a top five guy. So we're going to push to get this done. But I think you're going to see more and more teams, you know, like New York, if Daniel Jones doesn't have a good year, like, you know, you can't pay him or you just can't do it. So you're going to see more decisions being made like that because that number is getting so high where I know some NFL owners wanted a separate salary cap during the last CBA negotiation. They wanted it separate. You could have like a max player slot. And it never happened, but this is why they wanted that.
Is there a team out there in the NFL that you can think of that's getting it right with their quarterback and the way they're doing it long term?
Well, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, it's a great deal for the Chiefs. Not to say it can't be a great deal for Mahomes, too, because if he earns all that money, certainly it's those roster bonuses in those coming years are attractive for him. He forewent the early guaranteed money, the big money up front, to get those roster bonuses, knowing that he's going to be on the team and instrumental to the team and all that, you know. So, like, I think the Chiefs are doing it right because they have the best player in the world locked up for a very long time. So, you know, they are, you know, I think for the most part, let's see, who else? You know, they're all, most of these guys are worth it is the thing, you know. So if you're Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, I know they have their problems there, but when he signed that deal, you know, $34 million a year for that guy, and of course you're going to do that. So, you know, most of these cases are correct where you pay him and, you know, you worry about the rest later.
Is the Kansas City Chiefs deal with Mahomes is kind of a difference. It's an outlier. What if anything, why is this, is it a bad deal for Mahomes and what's he guaranteed? And it really doesn't kick in, am I right, until like 2023, correct?
Yeah, I'd have to pull it up. But yeah, the guarantees up front were low. So like the technical guarantees, which, you know, like the signing bonus, all that stuff you get up front, that was low. That was sort of his concession because they were tight on the cap and that they had some maneuvering to do and players assigned. But pretty soon here, I think a couple of years from now, he'll start getting like those balloon payments, like $30 million here, $35 million there. You know, pretty much locks the Chiefs in for a long time unless they want to keep renegotiating it. The good thing for the team is that they can restructure that until the end of time if they just want to keep creating space every year. And there's not a whole lot Mahomes can do about that. Or they could sort of rip it up and do a new deal, but that would be harder to do because of the length of it. So you'd have to take into account all the future salary cap years. So it's very unique, and I think it was shocking at the time when they did it because of the length. You just don't see that very often. I think 6 years is sort of the longest you saw in today's era. And you know, a lot of agents would say, like, I wouldn't do that. I would go 4 years or even 3 years if I could. Like, the shorter, the right. better. Mm-hmm. Get as many guarantees as you can. So it's all about what the player's comfortable with, what the team tries to get away with, and you got to find a sweet spot.
So there's a few of these teams and quarterbacks who are probably having these conversations and are on the horizon of doing some sort of contract extension. You know, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and, of course, the quarterback that is the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen. Who do you think signs their contract extension first out of those three?
Well, I think it'll end up being Baker Mayfield because Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson are clearly top, seven guys. You could argue about Jackson with his passing ability, does he fall a little bit? But he's a top 10 guy. There's no question about it. So with Baker, I don't know if he's there yet, even though he had a really good year last year. So I think because of that, the different market for him and, all these guys want to wait each other out. It's smarter to let the first guy go, reset your market, and then you can go over the top and get more money. So I think that's what Lamar and Josh will both do in this case. Maybe let Baker go first, set his own deal, and then they'll come over the top.
Do you think, and I'm going to change the subject a little bit, not entirely, but do you think a new contract would go a long way to smooth things over for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
Well, the problem is, we don't exactly know what will smooth things over. Like, I've tried to make 100 calls on this, and it's just impossible to figure out exactly what he wants. We know the relationship is strained. We know he's frustrated. We know from what he said on SportsCenter a couple weeks ago that it's Green Bay's forgotten. It's about the people. So clearly there's the rift at the front office. I don't know if money can solve that. I know Green Bay has tried in that regard to at least get the ball rolling on maybe something that creates a better guarantee structure for him that ensures he's there for a few years, but nobody knows if he wants to really be there. They're just, he's pretty dug in, and there's so many whispers that he doesn't want to be there. So I am not sure if the money will solve it. Yeah, in most cases, it does. So you'd like to think that Green Bay could get that done somehow and get him a new deal. But right now, I think they're looking for solutions just like everybody else, and they're sort of waiting this out to see if he shows up or if he, as a last resort, threatens retirement.
Let's stay on the topic of quarterbacks and some older quarterbacks in the league, someone that you have covered for quite some time. It's Big Ben. Do you think he has enough to make the Steelers a contender? Aside from him, when you're looking at quarterbacks on this roster, of course, we know it's going to be Big Ben this year. But in the future, there's Dwayne Haskins, Josh Dobbs, and Mason Rudolph still on that roster.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger's probably lost a little bit of the fastball, but I still think that there's enough ability there, and obviously he's got the pedigree for them to win games. I think coming off the elbow surgery last year, he was a little hesitant. Probably afraid of taking hits to an extent. Not afraid, but just trying to manage the game and keep himself healthy. I think with Najee Harris and what should be a better running game, that will help him. So I do still think he can get it done. He's not really a top 10 guy anymore, but he's still on that fringe and capable than most. I think the Steelers are, they know if he doesn't have a big year, then they're not producing and they're not going to be in the playoffs again. So they feel good enough about his presence that he can at least get them close to there or there.
One other quarterback I want to ask you about. It's been so long since it's happened. It happened so early in the off season that we kind of forget that it has happened. So much stuff has gone on. But Matt Stafford is no longer a Detroit Lion, and he's going to what I consider maybe to be one of the great quarterback gurus around right now in Sean McVay. What's going to happen in your best estimate to Matt Stafford in L.A. with the Rams, and how much better are they with him in the fold?
He's a major upgrade. I mean, there's no question about it. I know the Rams are super excited about what he can do, not only just with his overall ability and his pedigree, but just his ability to throw the deep ball. They're like yards on air last year was pretty low. So they added some speed. They feel like with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods kind of controlling the game from the receiver spots, but then also having some complementary pieces that can get deep, like a DeSean Jackson or some players they got in the draft. Like they feel like Stafford can get them connected deep. And so add another dimension to their offense. You know, he and Sean McVay have hit it off so far. We're just kind of there talking about offensive concepts and game planning and all those things. And so he's kind of a dark horse MVP candidate. You talk to other teams, you know, they think, hey, he's probably gone from like maybe the 10th best quarterback in the league to like the 6th or 7th right now, you know, depending on how you look at things. But I think the McVay factor with Stafford, knowing that he kind of slogged through all those years in Detroit, gives him sort of a renewed confidence.
Speaking of dark horses, are there any younger quarterbacks who you are most excited to watch this season? Maybe rookies, second year players that you're looking forward to seeing what they can do in the NFL?
Well, it's a crucial year for Daniel Jones in New York. I mean, they've surrounded him with a bunch of weapons. I don't know if he's like an ascending player that I'm excited about. For him, it's more like the pressure's on, what he's really made of, because there's some ability there, and he's shown some great glimpses and brilliant moments, but then he takes them away with turnovers. So, you know, they got Kenny Galladay, got Kadarius Toney in the draft, got Kyle Rudolph, a tight end to pair with Evan Ingram, like a lot of weapons there now. So it's going to be on him to put it all together, and I'm eager to see what he does.
Getting back, one last thing from me I got to ask you about is the 2018 quarterback class. We had Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Of course, Josh Rosen not really in the picture. But which of those three, Lamar, Josh, or Baker, which one signs first? And how do you think – will those deals be vastly different from one another?
Well, they could be. I think Baker Mayfield could be the one to sign first because he's not considered the same caliber of player as those other two, at least right now. Coming off a very good season, very good quarterback. But Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you know, as an MVP and then a guy who guided Buffalo to, you know, new heights last year, they're more considered top 5 to 7 guys in the league, you know, first or fringe first-tier guys. So they can afford to sort of wait and let the first quarterback go. Which I think will be Mayfield, but it all depends on how negotiations shake out. And maybe Mayfield's thinking the same thing, like, hey, I've accomplished a lot and I can sit and wait too. I don't have to overreact. So it's hard to tell how the deals will be different, but I know the Browns, their challenge is, you know, they've got 4 or 5 guys they want to re-sign. Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward, the cornerback, Wyatt Teller, a guard, Nick Chubb, a running back. They have a lot of work to do. And so I think they'll be proactive in trying to get Baker and maybe even Denzel Ward done because they have the 2 years left on the rookie deal to try to spread out the cap, and maybe you do a 4 or 5 year extension along with those 2 years.
Jeremy, thanks for coming on to break down some quarterback talk with us, especially the contract extension talk surrounding Josh Allen, what it would look like, if it'll be more team-friendly than not, or if it'll be in between that Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes type of deal. So we appreciate the insight about Josh and several other quarterbacks in the NFL.
Hey, thanks, everyone. Appreciate you having me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jeremy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.